Hello and welcome to the Africa Today podcast from the BBC at 15:30 GMT on Tuesday the 13th of April. I am Hassan Aruni. In the pod today, no music on the airwaves in Mogadishu. Radio stations heed an order from a radical Islamic group. We ask Nigeria's former military leader, General Ibrahim Babangida, why he wants to be the next president.
I have no other country except this country. I was part and parcel of fighting for the unity of this country. And if I have anything that I could offer, surely I will do that.
And the latest from Sudan on the third day of voting in the country's first multi-party elections for 24 years. Take a few seconds and imagine no music on your local FM station. That's currently the situation in Somalia's capital, Mogadishu, where radio stations have complied with the wishes of the radical Islamic group Hizbul Islam. First, they banned the public viewing of films and videos, then watching football, and now the group has placed a fresh ban on music. Well, the Somali insurgents of the Hizbul Islam group say that the playing of songs is un-Islamic, and it appears that radio stations have had no choice but to comply or risk punishment. Mohamed Olad Hassan reports from Mogadishu.
No music, no songs, not even a jingle over the airwaves. This has been a topic for discussion on the streets of Mogadishu and other social gatherings today. The most popular breakfast shows and news from the local independent FM stations started with the jipping of birds, noises of vehicles, traditional poems, and the growing of roosters instead of music and songs. The order to stop playing music was issued 10 days ago, but came into effect today. It affects 12 out of the city's 15 radio stations. The Hizbul Islam group, which announced the ban, says music and jingles were un-Islamic. Pop music is very popular in Mogadishu, and many people resent being told what they can hear on the radio. Residents of the capital can now only hear music from the government-controlled radio station and another Kenya-based UN-funded radio station, which has a FM transmitter in Mogadishu. Somalia has a tradition of music, and most residents greeted the ban with dismay. But no one can openly express the anger or frustration at the decision due to fears for their own security. Abdullah Yassin Jama at Tusma Broadcasting says the station has had no choice but to comply with the order. Another radio controller said he feared they would lose listeners and advertisers.
Mohamed Olad Hassan in Mogadishu. Nigeria's former military leader, General Ibrahim Babangida, has his eyes set on the country's top job. General Babangida seized power in a coup in August 1985, toppling the then president, General Muhammadu Buhari. The self-styled military president stepped down in 1993 after cancelling an election that was generally regarded as fair, leading to political instability. So why is Ibrahim Babangida returning to politics? My colleague Sophie Ikenye spoke to him on the line to Mina in Niger State.
Because the constitution allows it.
It does allow it, but why? What are you bringing to the table?
I have been out of the office for 17 years. And not much has changed since 17 years ago, in 1993, when I left office. I have no other country except this country. I was part and parcel of fighting for the unity of this country. And if I have anything that I could offer to this country, surely I will do that.
What exactly are you offering? What will you be offering?
Leadership.
Don't you feel that your time for leadership passed then? Is it not really time for a new generation, a new younger generation to take the helms of power in Nigeria?
As far as I believe, Nigeria is not a workshop where you do on-the-job training. You need experienced hands, you need people who are knowledgeable on this, and you can't continue to do on-the-job training in a complicated country like ours, 150 million odd people, bright people, brilliant entrepreneurs, and so on. If you feel you can give them leadership, why not?
Sir, I do understand you're a very popular man in Nigeria. Also, you are a very wealthy man, or rich man for that matter. And many think your popularity is related to your large assets that you might be hoping to buy your way to power.
You'll be glad to know that I was the most investigated Nigerian living today. Perhaps after 17 years, it ought to have come out by now, unless somebody is not doing his job.
Which platform are you going to stand on in this coming general election?
Fortunately, we have about 51 political parties in the country. Meanwhile, I belong to the PDP.
How sure are you that you'd get the PDP nomination? What if the acting president, that's Goodluck Jonathan, decides to stand? He might be a better bet for a lot of Nigerians or the party.
What I am sure of, I can always find one party out of 51 that I can pitch my tent on.
Now, you were in charge of Nigeria's most controversial elections in 1993. A lot of people will remember you for that election and the annulment of that election in 1993. It doesn't really say much for your democratic record or credibility for that matter, does it?
What it says is that I have conducted the freest and the fairest, and this was attested by the international community, the fairest election in the history of our country. That we deserve a credit for it. The fact that it was annulled is a different thing altogether.
A lot of people felt it was a free and fair election, and you single-handedly annulled it.
But I single-handedly also conducted a free and fair election, right?
Former Nigerian military ruler General Ibrahim Babangida. It's day three and what should have been the final day of voting in Sudan's historic elections. This morning, the National Election Commissioner visited the southern capital, Juba, to urge voters to come out and use the two extra days of polling. The BBC's Udwa Kamimo is in Juba. She asked Commissioner Felista Baya whether 2 days was enough.
Well, for the time being, I think it is enough because we have some little challenges. Because the voting history really in Sudan is very minimal. We have not held multi-party democracy elections for the last 24 years. So this is the first of its kind. And the election, this particular one, is very complex. As you have heard, the voters in the south are to cast about 12 ballot papers and in the north about 8. That has never happened in the political history of the Sudan. So it is very complex. So we need more time than we had previously envisaged.
It sounds like you underestimated the challenges you were facing, because the last time Sudan had elections, we heard that voting took 1 week. So given the complexity of these polls, why would you start out with 3 days and then five? That's hardly enough.
Well, you know, we are working under pressure, as you said. Everything was behind the schedule. Everything is behind the schedule, and we must really catch up with the time and make sure that this election is concluded as quickly as possible. But so far, things are going well, despite the short period of polling.
You talked about challenges. What are the challenges as you see them?
Well, it's just some of the voting materials were taken to different destinations. There is no effort without an error and shortcomings. So these are some of the shortcomings, and we have already addressed them. And right now, things are going smoothly. I think in the 2 days extension given for polling, I think we'll be able to meet the deadline and everything will be okay.
I went around polling stations this morning. There's hardly anybody voting. Quite a few people said they were frustrated. One person had found their name after 3 days of walking around Juba trying to find their name. So when you say that you're addressing these shortcomings, what exactly are you doing and how?
You know, the problem is most of the voters are illiterate and they have to be guided in finding their names. And we have been appealing to them to come back to the voting booth. They were able to come for registration. So we see no reason why they should not come to the voting booth to come and cast their votes.
That was Felista Baya, the National Elections Commissioner of Sudan. And indeed, the opposition's complaints about the election are growing. The opposition southern presidential candidate, Dr. Lamakol of the breakaway SPLM-DC, has taken his complaints about the National Elections Commissioner to the capital, Khartoum, from where James Copnell reports.
Lamakol presented a detailed list of what he called serious irregularities during these elections. These occurred in at least six southern states yesterday, after other problems occurred on Sunday. The allegations included the theft of ballot boxes, unlawful detention of opponents to the SPLM, and voter intimidation. Mr. Akol broke down the different types of rigging he believes have happened.
There has been interference from ministers and commissioners that belong to the SPLM in the voting centres, and we have given examples of what happened in Fashoda County when that group took away a ballot box from Bol to Kodok. Another form of rigging is the threat and intimidation and detention of voters by the SPLA and its various intelligence organs and attempting to press them to vote in a particular manner.
Mr. Akol thinks protesting to the National Elections Commission will serve little purpose after his experience of complaining to the body during the campaign. But, one journalist wondered, why was Mr. Akol talking only about the South when there are many allegations of vote rigging in the North too?
I'm talking about the South because I'm a candidate for the president of the government of Southern Sudan. And this is why I'm talking about the violation of the SPLA in the voting and polling centres. I've not heard of army intervening in polling centres in the North. I've not heard that the Sudanese armed forces has gone to polling centres to intimidate people.
Mr. Akol concluded by saying he would not be party to flawed elections. But the southern politician, who is often accused of being a proxy candidate of the North, rejected rumours that he would withdraw from the race.
James Copnell reporting from Khartoum. Similar complaints are coming in from Western Equatoria near the border with the Democratic Republic of Congo and Bahr el Ghazal near the Central African Republic. The tensions there are supposed to be between the SPLM-sponsored governorship candidates, independents who parted company with the SPLM, and another opposition group, the UDF. Josephine Hazley put these complaints to Dr. Anne Ito, the Deputy Secretary General of the SPLM in the South.
It's on the newspapers, it's everywhere. But I just want you to know that it's not true that SPLM is harassing anybody, because we're a political party like anybody else. We have our party agents at the polling stations. Secondly, we are a political party, we are not a government. If anybody is harassed by the police or by the security, let them go to the authority. The third thing is, we really have no need to harass anybody. I mean, the ground is so good for SPLM.
The thing is, sometimes, because communications is so difficult from, say, from you here in the head office and people back in the various regions, they forget that the party, the SPLM, is different from the government, and they blur the lines. It does happen. Sometimes the police get overenthusiastic on behalf of the SPLM.
You see, our police come from our people. Right now, I can say they're the people who fought as part of the Sudan People's Liberation Army for these same people. They care about their people, and they care about the election, and they care about where we are going. And I really believe if anything like that happened, it's not a policy. It may be a difference between individuals, because I don't see any reason why it should happen.
The SPLM Deputy Secretary General in South Sudan, Dr. Anne Ito. And that's it for today. Thank you for downloading the Africa Today podcast from the BBC, recorded weekdays at 15:30 GMT. You can also listen to our programs and more material from Sudan's elections on our website, bbcworldservice.com/Africa. I am Hassan Aruni. Until next time, goodbye.